The room was dark. Only one small light bulb hung from the ceiling, and blankets had been draped over the window to block out prying eyes. I wondered if these people were too poor to afford shades. No one spoke. Each new worshipper took his place around the central table, bowed his head and prayed silently for the safety of the coming meeting. Precisely at 8 o'clock, Petrov stood up and spoke in a low voice, translating himself for me as he went.
"We are blessed tonight to have a brother visit us from Holland," Petrov whispered. "I shall ask him to share with you a message from the Lord."
Petrov sat down, and I waited for the hymn, then realized that, of course, singing was impossible in this church underground. I spoke for perhaps 20 minutes, then nodded to Petrov. He jumped up and, with a flourish, unwrapped the package he had brought with him and held up a Bible. There were exclamations that threatened to be too loud before those assembled caught themselves and put hands to mouths. Then there were great bear hugs from the men and warm foreheads on the shoulder from the women before they passed the book from one hand to another, tenderly opening it and closing it again. One of the men at the meeting that night especially intrigued me. After we had stayed together for as long as we dared, we separated as we had come, in ones and twos, at intervals, for over an hour. The last person to get up from his knees was a mammoth, grizzly bear of a man with a patriarchal beard, a square brown face, and the kindest, most guileless blue eyes I had ever seen. This, Petrov told me, was Abraham. Abraham had spoken little during the meeting, but there was a childlike innocence and purity about the old man that came through without words. Like Petrov, he was over the maximum age for holding a job, and so for several years the two of them had spent their time trying to locate churches that had two Bibles, so that they could beg or buy one and give it to a church that had none. Abraham, Petrov told me, lived in a tent in the Rhodope Mountains. He had an income from the government of $5 a week, and on this he and his wife lived. At one time he had owned land, but had lost it because of his subversive activities.
"Some day you must try to visit him in his home," Petrov said, "because it will give you a picture of what a man will sacrifice in the name of his God."
Most of the year, he said, Abraham and his wife lived on wild berries and fruit, and a little bread. Petrov called the old man Abraham the giant killer, because he was always setting out to find his Goliath, some high-ranking party official or army man to whom he could bring his witness.
"Abraham is always seeking a new Goliath," Petrov said. "He finds him, too, and then there is a fight. Only Goliath wins, and Abraham ends up in jail.